at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right. Good morning, St. Louis. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show. It's me, Rich Orris, your host. I am back and I'm excited as ever to be here with you today to talk about everything related to your remodeling, repairs, home maintenance, whatever you need, whether you're planning a big major renovation, tackling a small DIY project, or just looking for some tips to keep your home in tip-top shape. You've come to the right place. I'm here to answer all your questions and help you find solutions to your home improvement and maintenance challenges. So you can give me a call today. We've got two full hours for you, 314-436-7900, or from far away, 1-800-925-1120. Do not forget the one in that one, 1-800-925-1120. So let's get those questions answered and those projects underway for you. Let me help you make your home like it's never felt so good right here today on KMOX. And like I said, we've got a good long show for you today. No Cardinals till later on this afternoon. So we've got all the way till 1 o'clock to get your questions answered and get everything going. As you may know, if you are around, I had a couple of weeks off for vacation, so I hope everyone got to reminisce with my mentor of 23 years, Scott Mosby. He was in last week, and then I heard Greg Damon had a wonderful show with Brad and Mark from our office, from Mosby Building Arts, here the week before. They are both basically do the exact same thing that I do for Mosby Building Arts. So they have a lot of experience, intuition, and knowledge about what's going on around the home, remodeling, getting things done well, right, in the way that we do it here at Mosby Building Arts. So we've got a lot of what we call a deep bench and a lot of experience there with our consultants and our designers and all of the field personnel, everybody through, and a great staff that just kind of controls every part of everything that happens for the company. So we have different people in different areas. So you don't have one person just wearing nine hats trying to get everything done, everything accomplished. And when you do that, it's easy sometimes to just miss things and let things slip by and not think of them. When you get to focus in your area and everything that you do, you can just follow processes and be more accurate and rely on everyone else to follow their processes and do what they need to do in order to keep everything running and smooth and happy all the way down the line. So I haven't been here in a couple of weeks, but definitely the weeks prior, we had some super interesting questions and conversations, as always, coming through and filling up our waves here. So again, don't forget, we've got plenty of time for you. Whatever you have going on today, I'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900 is where you're going to find me. But of course, we have some most common usual questions that come through basically on a weekly basis. I hear a lot of them as I'm running around for Mosby Building Arts, seeing people's houses, talking about what they're after, what they think, what they have going on, what they would like to do. And a lot of common stuff always, as always, is water in the basement, water from outside the wall coming in. A couple weeks ago, we had someone with a 140-year-old farmhouse question with a back porch that had a stone foundation, a dirt floor underneath it, kind of a crawl space. So, boy, have we come a long way in what we do for a crawl space in the past 140 years. Now, remarkably, you know, most of those improvements have been made in the past 20 years or so. And unfortunately, not everyone performs or completely understands the best method for achieving a long-lasting, healthy crawl space. And used to basements, used to how things are in a full basement. And when we get to that crawl space, there's still some hiccups there that not everybody follows. So you want to make sure you educate yourself, you do a lot of research and have a lot of understanding, especially if you're thinking about adding a room addition. And the most common room additions, they're going to have a crawl space, and it's a financial necessity thing that we come across for the most part. When we talk to clients, and I talk to clients all the time about building room additions, when they see that what things cost today and the investment difference in a full basement, breaking through the foundation wall completely and adding space in the basement, rarely does that value come into play to where they go, yeah, let's do that and it'll add more space in my basement too. Occasionally, yes, but most room additions built today are crawl spaces, and you'll want to make sure that you understand them and that whoever is building this room and however they're building this room, they're doing a really good job managing water and what could potentially happen in that crawl space in the future. So, and we've had a lot of other things with water. We had Mary that was asking about her concrete expansion joints, where that black kind of fiber board that they put between the pads had worn out, kind of gone away. So we spoke about how to caulk that properly. And with the weather that we're coming into, I know it's going to be a little hot again this week, but coming into the next, into the fall, into September, October, it's going to be really the perfect timing and the perfect weather for everyone out there to get their concrete cleaned up, get it caulked, get the expansion joints, the control joints that are cracked filled in, keep the water on the surface, and then really clean it up good and seal that concrete. If you haven't done it in a while, depending on how long it's been, what type you've used, you can kind of test it to see if it's, you know, the water's beating up on the concrete or not. And it's important the type of sealer that you think about using, because a garage floor is going to have different sealer than a broom finished concrete out in the driveway. And then when you get into the patios and the driveways, exposed aggregate and decorative stamp concrete is going to have a different type of sealer than regular concrete. So there's different methods for different things, but we're soon and close to the weather where we want to be performing this work and getting it ready and protected prior to winter. So if you have any questions about any of those things, if anything sparked an interest for you, we've got you covered right here. You can call me right here, right now at 314-436-7900. So we're going to jump into our first break. But, hey, stick around. Stay tuned. We'll have more calls, questions, answers, and topics to speak about right after this.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back. And again, don't forget, we've got our first caller coming in. But don't forget, for everyone out there, we got a lot of time for you. You can find me again, 314-436-7900. Love to help you all out. Like, hopefully we can help Linda out. Are you there, Linda? Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. I just have a question. I have some hairline cracks in my concrete, and I've been seeing this product called Magic Crack, which is like almost like a sand that you pour into your hairline cracks, and then you mist it with water and it hardens. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that product, or should you stay with something that's more pliable?
So I'm not, I'll have to look that product up because I'm not super familiar with that exact product. But if it hardens, then it's probably very similar to like just mortar. I'm sure it just kind of fills it up. And then when you mix it, just like you mix mortar with water and additives and things like that, it'll get really, really stiff and hard. And the issue with that is that I'm sure that looks really good when you do it because it's probably a closer color to the concrete, but it's not, like you just mentioned, it's not very pliable. And with concrete, when you get the temperature difference, you get freeze and thaw, you get the concrete will expand, it will move around a little bit. So that kind of hardened surface, hardened mortar in a crack can tend to crumble and kind of pop right back out. Or if it spreads back open, then you're continually doing it over and over again, where the actual caulks that are made for caulking concrete, they will expand. If the concrete crack gets smaller, it'll kind of squish and not and stay pliable. If it widens just a little bit, if it sticks good, it can kind of widen with it and expand. So you would definitely be better off, in my book, using a more pliable type caulk to do that. And when it's a really fine hair one, I typically am just using like a translucent, just something, the real fine kind of translucent bead. Because concrete cracks, and it will just kind of still look like a crack, but it will keep the water on the surface and running off and not going down in there to make it any worse.
Is there a product that you like a caulk product that you recommend, or Quikrete or something like that, or no?
So yeah, just concrete based caulk products. You can buy them at the big box stores. They're like a urethane base. Some of them are self-leveling and some of them are not. So the main thing to watch out for when you're purchasing them is that you don't, for a small crack like that, you don't really want the self-leveling because it can just kind of run down into the crack and there's no way to stop it from going down. So you want to get the one that's not self-leveling so you can just kind of force a little bit in there and wipe it off and it'll stay to the surface like that. The self-leveling is nice when you have a hole like expansion joint and you're on a flatter driveway and you put in that backer rod, then you can kind of take that self-leveling and just block each end and just kind of let it pour in there, and it will really smooth out itself. But it just, you don't want that for if you're on a steep hill or if you're on really fine hair cracks like you're talking about.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I'll definitely check out the store down the street, the big box store, and see what I can find. Thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely. Not a problem. Thank you, Linda, for the call. Great question. And it's another thing that I end up talking about with clients all the time on their concrete work and their concrete jobs is that spalling that we find that we see over time when you just have like a circle of concrete that breaks out off of the surface and you see a rock underneath it and the top surface just kind of breaks out. And we talk about patching those all the time, and people always ask about patching those, and those can be patched, and we would recommend kind of like a hard mortar for that type of patch on a spalling mark. But be warned that it's the same thing as the crack. When you patch a hole or a spall mark in concrete with a hard mortar surface, one, it's going to be a different color. It's not going to look, so it's going to stand out. And the other thing is any type of freeze-thaw, moisture getting in, any movement, expansion, contraction, driving over it, that you will be patching that often. That will pop out of there. It may last 5 years. It may last 1 year. It will pop out again. And just know that, and know that it's something that you'll end up doing kind of often when patching those spalling marks. And when we look at concrete in our area, in the Midwest here, St. Louis, Missouri, and we look at the temperature difference that we endure when you have concrete in other places, it's either cold all the time or it's hot all the time, and you don't have the same issues. So tuck pointing isn't as big of a work performed in the desert, in Arizona, in some of these really dry, really warm places that don't have a lot of freezing. It's tremendous here. There's hundreds of companies that do it. You don't even know who to go to. There's so many that do that around here, and it's because of that weather. When we have that freeze overnight and that thaw the next day, if you think about how often in the winter you go to bed and it freezes overnight, but then the next afternoon it's 50, 60 degrees and it's thawed completely out. And that thawing and refreezing and thawing and refreezing, on average over a winter in St. Louis, that happens approximately 50 or 60 times in a year. So as moisture is getting into your concrete, that is what's tearing that concrete up. So that's when we get into those sealing products that we talk about, and sealing that concrete and putting something in there that, if you have a regular broom finished concrete, you want a sealer that you don't see it. It fills the pores. It's like a silicate type base, and it really sticks in there and gets in there under the right conditions and in the right weather patterns. And depending on how much sun it gets or not gets, a sealant like that could last anywhere from 5 to maybe even 10 years on a concrete driveway. But it's a product that wears. That's why we test it and we see. But sealing those patios, those driveways, first and foremost, before you start getting a lot of those spalling marks, it will help prevent. It will not completely stop it. It will not completely prevent it, but it can basically take your patio or your driveway or your sidewalk. And the way I kind of explain it is, if in 10 years you're going to get 100 of those spalling marks breaking out, if you never seal it, in 10 years you might get 10 or 20 instead of 100, and you just have a better lasting product that looks better with less imperfections. In the end, it's never going to be completely stopped. And I can walk and kind of look at a driveway, and if you get a driveway or a patio wet sometimes too, you can kind of look at it and you can see those little circles. I can pick out and mark, this is where these things are going to start happening in that surface in the first year or two of the life of the concrete. So sealing concrete for our area is definitely important, something I would absolutely recommend, and definitely say do it and maintain it and check it and check the cracks and fill the cracks, caulk the cracks, keep the water where it needs to go, running off down into the street, down into the sewer, and you'll have a lot less issues with your concrete product down the road. So definitely think about doing that this year, and this fall is a perfect weather time. But hey, I'm here. We've got a lot going on. I've got a lot for you, but I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear the different scenarios, questions, comments, things that you have going on, things that you're curious around your house. So you can find me right here today, 314-436-7900. I invite you to jump in. Join the conversation. It will be a good one. We're going to get into our break, but don't worry, we'll have plenty more coming up next.
MOX Weekend at your service, sponsored by Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Installation. The voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right. We are back. A lot going on, and got some new stuff to research with this magic crack. So I'm sure I will get to that at some point. And next week or the week after, we can have a little more conversation about what that actually is and what my opinion of that exactly is. So for now, we have Todd on the line. So let's get to Todd and see what he has going on. Todd, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
I had some stamped concrete put in. It's like three steps that come down to my house. They initially sealed it. You know, a few years later, I tried some sealer on it, and it was very slick. So I ended up just trying different methods of removing that. So it's been without any sealer on it for a few years. I'm just wondering if there's a product that I could use on that stamped concrete.
So, yeah, the sealer that goes on that stamped concrete is a top coat sealer. It can make it a little slick in the flat, you know, smooth parts of the stamped concrete. Usually it's not too slick because depending on the stamp, it's kind of got some texture to it. But generally, if we have an issue with that, what we normally do is they just add a little bit of, like, kind of, I don't know that it's sand. I'd have to talk with Larry at B&W of what exactly they put in that, but they just put kind of like a sand texture in that mix and then do that sealer, and it'll kind of stick to it, and it, that'll kind of roughen it up just enough to where it's not as slick when it gets wet. So, but I would definitely say You're better off doing that and having a good sealer on it, so that it lasts and everything, than not having any, so that it's not slick for sure.
I kind of thought that there was some product like a sand or something to put in it.
Yeah, there is. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but we've definitely had B&W do that on some projects where, you know, it was slick on stairs and things like that. So there's something you could add to it. We just got to find out what it is.
And they stamped this thing in really hot weather, so the grooves aren't really deep on parts of it because they did it in really hot weather.
Oh, yeah, it was probably setting up pretty quick for them. And yeah, the timing is everything on not just finishing concrete, but absolutely when you're stamping it for sure. To get it all in there good and to get it to compress the way you want it. So, but stamped concrete can be really, really nice, really cool looking. And that sealer also enhances the colors and everything that they put in it. So it'll make it, you know, kind of bring that luster back.
Do you have any recommendation on a brand of sealer?
That I would refer to B&W Concrete for that. They have pretty specific brands, and when we seal concrete, we have them do it as a trade partner for it. So they have a specific sealer that they use for stamped concrete, for garage floors is a little bit different, and then it just regular broom finish concrete is a little bit different. So they've got three or four different sealers that they use and recommend. So I would say they would be a go-to solution. You could give them a call and ask them what they use, or even maybe have them look at it. Maybe they could do it for you.
Okay. B&W, right?
Yep. B&W Concrete.
Okay. I'll reach out to them.
All right. Perfect.
Thanks for your help. Thanks.
Nope. Very, very welcome. And they are my go-to and Mosby's go-to concrete installer. Pretty much no matter what we're doing, we have a great relationship with them, and they do really, really good work with everything that we've done. They've done work at my house and everything. So definitely a great thing to have them check that out. They can definitely help with that. And we've got other recommendations. And if you're looking for any type of recommendation, sometimes it might even turn out to be stuff that we do at Mosby Building Arts, but for pretty much anything. And I have my clients calling me all the time. I literally just talked to one yesterday about his granddaughter's fireplace and chimney and a house they bought. And they're saying from the inspection report, the flue liner's cracked. And it's a masonry chimney with a clay flue liner. And they were told, don't use the fireplace without getting this repaired or replaced or something happening. And we talked about the possibilities, sometimes how they put in like a metal new flue liner inside of that clay flue liner and hook that up to the top into the fireplace and get that working again and then kind of avoid that old brick. But I basically said, yeah, with the masonry, with everything going on, just call English Sweep and have them come out. That's who we've used for a long time to look in. They've got the camera. They can go down and see the cracks and the condition, and then they can recommend maybe we go in and we fix one section of the clay flue liner, or maybe we do this whole new liner because it's all in bad shape. They can figure all that stuff out for you. So if you're looking for any recommendations like that, you can either give me a call here today or any Saturday that I'm here, 314-436-7900 will get you right to me. Or you can call during the week. You can call our office at Mosby Building Arts and say, hey, this is what I've got going on. What would you do? Who would you use? And they'll either put you in contact with someone like me, or they'll have a list of different people that we recommend. Sometimes it might be something that we just do that they say, hey, we can come out and take a look at that and help you out with it. But you can give Mosby a call anytime, 314-909-1800. You can also do submissions and stuff online. If you go to our website, you can put in a question form submission there. So you can do that any hour, middle of the night, nothing matters. We'll get back to you. Just check us out at callmosby.com, and we can get your questions and recommendations answered that way also. So a lot of ways to help out, and that's kind of what we do, why we're here, and why we're trying to help is just to really what's been instilled in me, probably kind of what from what you heard, you know, last weekend from Scott Mosby being here, is just do the right thing, educate people, really try and help them understand and figure things out. And sometimes that even means when we see new things, they go, okay, well, let us do some research on this, because we've always been, we have some really, really good practices and a lot of new materials, a lot of new ways to correct things, fix things, come out about on the market. There's thousands of products coming about constantly every day, every year. And so sometimes even us, we need to do a little research and say, well, let me look into that and let me think of that and let me see what that product is made of and maybe read some reviews and all of that. We've always been a little reluctant to just dive into the water head first and go right in. And one of them that I'll never forget was we had a company years ago, and I was in the field as a project manager, and there was this new, it was adhesive for subfloors for plywood and things like that. And we were kind of looking at it, and we said, we're going to kind of hold off on this. And they ended up having all kinds of problems. If it ever got wet during the build, during the construction, it had problems. And we were like, whew, kind of wiping the forehead, like glad we never just dove right into that and you know, got that going and just didn't want to have issues for people down the road. So sometimes you got to kind of see what happens and let things happen over time. And then you can start saying, yeah, it seems to be working and maybe it's a good thing, but you just got to be careful and do a lot of research. And something's been instilled in us here at Mosby Building Arts for years and years. And what I'm doing here, trying to help everybody out here today. So, hey, we got to get into our break real quick. We'll have another segment after this. We got a couple of calls coming up, so we will get to them as soon as we return from this break.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, we are back, and this is one of our shortest segments, so let's jump right to the phones. We got a couple here. We got Doris on the line. So, Doris, if you're there, can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Yes, I hear you. I am hoping to put in a kitchen exhaust fan that would exhaust to the outside, and it would be on the outside wall of the home. But it's the north side of the house. Is that going to be a problem, or do I need to plan to go out through the ceiling?
No, you should. If that's an exterior wall, yeah, you can go directly outside that wall and just blow that. And you just want to make sure you get a good damper on the outside. That's there. There's some that are better than others, and they'll close better and seal up. They'll have a little bit of foam around them and kind of seal up a little bit better. So yeah, it's fine on that side of the wall for sure. Then you could take it straight out the wall.
Okay, well that's good. Then I won't have to give up my upper cabinet.
Oh, okay. So you're putting in a new exhaust fan, and it's just the current one's not already exhausted?
Correct.
It's
those recirculating things that is worthless.
Yep. I actually did the exact same thing at my house and went basically straight out through the wall so I didn't have to affect the cabinet above. And yeah, works great. And I had a lot of neighbors kind of seeing it happen, and they're all asking me the same thing. They're like, oh wow, you know, well, what do our exhaust fans do? I'm like, well, they just kind of spin around in a circle and send the air right back into your kitchen through a filter. So yep.
Yeah, I have taken to cooking outside or in the garage rather than in the kitchen. So
Okay.
All right, that's very good. I'm glad you solved that dilemma for me, and we can proceed.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need somebody to look at doing work like that for you, Mosby Building Arts is definitely something we could take care of for you. You could give our office a call if you wish to do so. So
okay.
All right. Perfect. Appreciate it. We've got BJ on the line. Let's see what's going on in St. Charles. BJ, are you there?
I certainly am.
How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, too. Thanks for calling.
Well, you had a lot of energy to the program, kind of like your predecessor.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad.
I've got a burner for you. Over the winter, I noticed that in our garage, we've always had one small crack that went from front to back. And now, about two-thirds of the way back, there's a crack that, like, say, recently happened, and goes almost all the way across the garage floor. And give you some background, we had bought the house in 86. The garage floor sunk, and the contractor came back about within 18 months to 2 years and replaced the garage floor. And the only thing I noticed after he was done, there was a small crack in the foundation on the outside of the garage on one corner. And it was the corner away from the house, not the house to the garage, but... Okay.
Yeah.
So my question is, should I just call a mud jacker and tell him to come out and level the floor? Because you can actually see the tilt now between the back to where that crack is.
Well,
or should it be torn out?
So... The thing I would definitely advise that you look at, you can consider mud jacking it, and but the other thing I would look at, and I would start with not just a company that does mud jacking, but I would start with a foundation company as well, so they can check that crack on that foundation wall of that garage. Because So what I think I heard, and you can correct me, is where it's cracked, like from the crack towards the back or somewhere in the garage, it's kind of sinking a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to tell because, you know, there's the original set of witness marks where the garage floor dropped before, so you can't tell if it's the newer garage floor that's sunk or the old one.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. And that's typically exactly what I'm looking for. So that does take another level of question on is it really truly sinking this time or not. But basically what happens on a garage floor like that is if your foundation is settling and it say it settles down and maybe it's only just a little bit like in the corner or something and there's a small crack and it settles like a quarter of an inch, well, when it does that, it also leans. So it will lean away that same kind of quarter of an inch, which can create basically a space underneath there. Everything underneath your garage floor will kind of sink and lean with the wall, and that will cause your garage floor to sink. So a lot of times when garage floors are sinking and people have them mud jacked or even have them torn out and completely re-poured, if you don't address the foundation, it may happen again.
Gotcha.
So I would definitely look at getting a foundation company out there and having them look at, because most of those foundation companies will also be able to do the mud jacking anyway. So if they look at it and go, no, your foundation's fine, we can mud jack it, then perfect, have a mud jack it.
Gotcha.
Or go into a whole new pad if it's so bad that they say mud jacking. Sometimes it just doesn't work really well and it might not line up and they kind of go, this is too far gone for us to mud jack it and really get it to line back up or work out. And they'll kind of get you into that recommendation. But
okay,
I have some really good friends that I work with that I've been working with for years and years at Stratum Structural that I would recommend calling them and having them come out and they can look at the foundation and all of that and make sure you don't need any foundation piers to help that garage floor from moving.
Okay. And it's Stratum?
Yeah, Stratum Structural. I don't have their phone number right in front of me, but that's who I use with all my foundation, sump pumps, everything relating to structural concrete foundation issues.
And are they located in St. Louis?
Yes, yes, they are. They're in Chesterfield. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Good group of guys. The owner Matt Ford and them. I've been working with Matt Ford for years and years. It's probably 15 years or more.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate the recommendation.
Hey, no problem. Good luck, and hopefully it's just some mud jacking for you, and it doesn't need to get in there. But it's worth finding out. It's kind of that whole education theory, you know. Make sure you understand what it is, and then you could make a good educated decision on what needs to happen. So, hey, appreciate the call, BJ. Great question, great topic. And we're going to get into our final hour break here. So, Greg, if you can hold the line here until we come back in the next hour, love to hear from you. Love to talk to you, get your questions answered. And for everybody else, we've got a whole nother hour coming up. We've got 97.1 joining in. You can find me from either station. Same number, 314-436-7900. Having a blast, loving it. Just so much going on. I appreciate all the great calls, and we'll have more in the next hour.